bless you. Shall we all stand as we approach the Lord in prayer this morning? I ask Brother Eric if he could lead us to the Lord in prayer this morning. Yes.
Father God, we know that you are mighty counselor, that you are the Prince of Peace, that you are the Lord of Angels.
Yes.
Please, Lord, you also love us, O God. Please forgive us of all our sins.
Yes.
Salvation and weakness, and may the precious blood of Jesus Christ cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Yes.
Father, thy word says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let us turn to our Bibles to Revelations chapter 2. Revelations chapter 2, verse 7. Revelations 2, verse 7. The scripture reads, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. So we're just going to finish off this church age, and just with that tree of life statement, talking about the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And so I just want to read this, if you can bring it up here just for a second, just to remind us in our minds a little bit about discerning the spirits, discerning the spirits. So the revelation was to help expose the devil and what he was doing and the spirits that are working from the beginning of time up till now. So we are to be able to discern that antichrist spirit, which is anti-word. So in the revelation of Jesus Christ through the church age book, but the book of Revelation shows that how that the Antichrist spirit would come into the church and defile it, making it lukewarm, formal, and powerless. So it's working in the church. So it says in the revelation, it exposes Satan, revealing his works. Attempted destruction of God's people and the discrediting of God's word. So the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is that last book of the Bible, was to reveal all the hidden mysteries. And it's exposing Satan and what he's been doing to try to destroy God's people and to discredit God's word. That's what he's trying to do, destroy God's people and discredit his word. If they get a true revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church, so those spirits are working within the Christian church, they're working right now amongst us. And by God's Spirit, discern and withstand the Antichrist spirit, Satan will be powerless before her. So discernment means to be able to see clearly and identify. So when you hear the word discernment, you hear it identifying what is right and wrong. If you hear about it in Brother Branham's ministry, it was discerning of the thoughts and intents of the heart, knowing exactly what was making it very clear, like black and white. So through that discernment, through the Word of God, it exposed and told what the problem was for an individual. The Word of God will be able to identify Satan. Are we all together here? So now we're going to go further in. So that's what we were doing in the last few lessons and to delve into further of what the Word of God through the prophet's message has shown us for us to be able to see here. Okay, next slide. So as you recall, and we take it back to Genesis, and this is just a quick review, and then we're going to continue on and delve in further and deeper. So the word says that Eve was beguiled by the serpent. She was actually seduced by the serpent. Genesis 3:1 says the serpent was more subtle. And I have a definition for subtle. I did not put it here, but subtle means to be very innocuous or insidious, coming in a way that you won't be able to detect. So subtle, and which the Lord, any beast of the Lord of the field which the Lord God had made, the beast was so close to a human being that he could reason and talk. He was an upright creature. We know that. And so beguile is to deceive. Seduce means to persuade, to disobedience, to lead astray, and to carry out physical seduction of, or to entice to sexual intercourse. Some of these words are uncomfortable, but they are a part of understanding this. Next, we're going to try to go through these quickly so that we can go into more of the meat. So if you remember, we touched on marriage and divorce. And in the marriage and divorce message, Brother Branham makes this statement talking about marriage and divorce, about is it okay to have a divorce? Basically, that's what the scripture is saying. And he says it's the foremost question in the believer's heart because they're trying to do what is right. He said it is a cause of the original sin. That's where sin started. That's the reason it's brought up every time, because it is the very beginning of sin. It's the very beginning of unbelief. And so we're looking at the first church age and how Satan crept in. How did he bring in disbelief in God's word? And so we look through these things to be able to quicken our senses to be able to discern what is right and wrong. So we must understand the characteristics of Satan, of that spirit. Next. So breaking the word breaks continuity and harmony. One word added to this book or one word taken from it throws a Christian out of continuity with God, the church, the family. So we must accept every word of God. Next. These are just reminders to plant these things in our minds. And so we know that you can see the spirit and the parallel of Satan and how he came down into on earth and he the trail of the serpent, basically. So you see what he did in heaven and the characteristics of what Lucifer and Satan was in heaven and that what he brought through the serpent and that what he brought through Eve. But see, he had his position, Eve had their position, but because of iniquity found in them, that they fell from their position. So Satan was co-equal with God, Eve was co-equal with Adam, but because of what they did, they fell from their position. Next. So we remember going through these about the design of what Satan was trying to do with Eve, who was not part of the original creation. So he was designing her to be deceitful, but she's also deceived. And the Bible says that she was deceived in the transgression. And so Satan was working on the serpent first, and then he used the serpent to work upon Eve. And then as the serpent was working upon Eve, he caused her to fall. But not only that, now Eve is being used as an instrument to bring down Adam. And so the scripture says because Adam was of the original creation, he was not deceived. He was a spoken word of God. He was part of the original word of God. And so he followed his nature and his character. So now he saw that Eve, who was part of him, had fallen. And so she was part of him, and he loved Eve. and he could not see her die. So therefore he gave his life for Eve, and so sold the race of human, the human race to sin and destruction, because he loved Eve, because she was a part of him. Amen. Showing the nature of Christ that was in Adam. He knew what would happen if he did that. He knew what would happen to the human race, but because of his nature, the spirit that was in him, he followed the same nature of Christ, which is what Christ did for you and I. Because you and I were a part of him, he gave his life to save us. Do you understand? And so it was almost like it was rigged, and Adam didn't have a choice because he had to follow his nature. But you see how God, the perfect plan of God was to, in order to express himself, he never brought the fall, but the fall happened because of how things took place and how things were designed. So she was deceived, and he says nothing can be so easily deceived as a woman. Now, next, we've hit all these points last time. The increase of the beauty of women is showing the time of deception. Satan is really working on her today. He is her designer. To go right back to the beginning, who started to work on her? Adam or Satan? God or Satan? We know it was Satan. It's her chief weapon to throw man to her filth. And we know that so many men fall by women. Pretty women. To throw man to her filth. Being a pretty woman, she can sway a man any way she wants to. And those of us who are men know the power of pretty women and how it can push them in and ways that are very powerful. And so a man needs the Holy Ghost to be able to resist that power. Amen. That's why, you know, it's so much on the rampage of women undressing themselves and looking in a certain way to entice men to lust after them. That's why pornography is such a humongous industry, multi-billion dollars. I'm sure the money that is gained by pornography can buy us so many different weapons for the Department of Defense and keep us safe. But you see all the money and energy dedicated to that industry. It shows the times that we're living in. Brother, it ain't the bootleg joint down here that gets the man. It's the pretty woman walking down the street, twisting herself, half-dressed. And so you don't have to have, just like Hollywood, somebody dressed like that. It's the spirit that's driving the nature, if you understand what I'm saying. And so that spirit is operating amongst us. So the spirit can get upon a person that does not have the Holy Ghost and influence them in a way to seduce a man. Do you understand? Doesn't have to be stripped. It's just the way she moves and the spirit that's on her. You can tell, even though she may have a long dress, the way she moves and the way she acts and the way she talks, she's driven by that same spirit. It's the pretty woman walking down the street, twisting herself, half-dressed. That's what takes. That's the deceiver right there. And she is deadly with it, absolutely deadly. So it may seem harmless because it seems pretty and nice, but it's very deadly. So God did not tell us to rely upon our senses and our own understanding and our own rationale, but he told us to rely upon the Word of God and what he has said. So we rely upon the Word of God and we're out of trouble, but if you rely upon your own understanding and senses and ignore what he's saying here, you will have that end. Right. Next. Satan is the one who features that kind of beauty, if we'll notice. He was the most beautiful of all the angels in heaven. Is that right? And he desired to make heaven a more beautiful place than the kingdom of Michael's. Is that right? Also, to show that Cain was his son, he offered a more beautiful worship. And so you can see that happening even amongst churches, that they That spirit can try to compete with other churches. You know, that we have more of this. We're better at this. We've got, and it looks enticing, you understand. But is it the Word? So we've got to go back to the Word. And same thing. You can have both types of women in the church. One that is guided by the Word and how she dressed and her conduct. And the other one can look like a Christian, but in her conduct is different. So sin is beautiful, what we call beauty today. Sin is deceiving by beauty. You never look at a woman going down the street and tell what's in her heart. So you cannot always tell by the looks. And so you've got to see how the Spirit manifests itself. Now, she is beautiful so she can deceive. The world is beautiful so it can deceive. Cosmos, the order of the world. Great fine places and luxury. Next. So the serpent was beautiful too. So he had the same features, the same nature. She saw the serpent, talking about Eve. He was beautiful, handsome, far better than her own husband. So that attracted her, the eyes. He was the most subtle of all the beasts. Subtle being elusive, operating insidiously. Have you ever met somebody that was very elusive or operated just very sleek? That's how the serpent was. And he was probably a fairer man than her husband. He looked like a great masculine beast standing there. How great he was. So he wasn't a snake, we know that, slithering on the ground. He was actual upright creature that looked good. And he was trying to tell her what a great thing it was. And the first thing she did, she opened her mind. And so many of us open our mind. And, you know, our young people are very susceptible to this because they're still trying to understand things. And Satan takes advantage of this. He's always attacking the young people. And he keeps going at a younger and younger and younger age, if you don't realize that. You know, who has the tablets these days? It's the young ones, right? 4 or 5 years old, even younger, that have these things. And it seems harmless. They're like kiddie programs. But you see what the devil did in the Garden of Eden, how sleek he worked in there. So don't you think he will work the same way to your children? Because all he has to do is plant those seeds in their mind. And they will be defiled, and those seeds will begin to grow, and then they will be turned against the Word of God, and their minds will resist the Word of God. He knows these things. So he says, open up her mind, and when she did, human reasonings caught it. Why wouldn't that be a thrill? That's the thing he does to a woman today. Some woman with a lovely little husband find some great big masculine man. So he's working through the channel of the mind through reasonings that sound okay. They sound like they are fine, right? And so when you have an idea or thought that comes in, it seems like it's a good thing to do. We've got to go back to the Word of God and see what does God say about it. No matter what we think or how right it may seem, in our minds, we've got to go back to the Word of God. So she was in the perfect Garden of Eden, the pure Spirit of God. There was no sin at all, and everything was perfect in harmony. So it's as perfect as could be. But yet she listened to this thing, and so it defiled the whole human race. So don't you think, because we have much more imperfect society and environment right now, don't you think that it would be so much more easy for it to happen today? This man will try to opening up the reasons. Remember, that's Satan, that's the devil. Next. Sin is pretty. They picture Judas as some old drunken sod out here on the street somewhere, mouth hanging with flies and so forth as Judas. Judas was handsome, strong, a deceiver. And so we are talking about the woman, but the devil can use a man just the same way. Just like he used a serpent, just like he used Judas. Judas was slick. He was a deceiver. So was the serpent. It ain't that guy to watch around you. It ain't a guy, that old farmer, come in with a pair of overalls on to watch around your wife. It's that slicker. He's a rascal. Sin is beautiful to the eyes of the world. So somebody that talks very flattering, very slick and smooth, you need to be careful. Now next. God is featured in character, beautiful character. In the Bible, Isaiah 53, it says, there was no beauty that we should desire him. So if we're attracted to beauty, we've got to think about what's going on. God is in character. He says, as we hid, as it was our faces from him, is that right? We didn't desire him because he wasn't pretty. He was probably a little fellow, stoop shoulder, ruddy looking, and he wasn't desirable to be a leader. He didn't look like a leader. And so we know that happens throughout the scripture. Case in point is with David. And so remember that Saul was a man head and shoulders above all the Israelites. And Brother Branham said, the world chose Saul. Look at the man. He was tall, handsome. He looked like he could be a good leader. But that was a natural. But then when Samuel went to choose and anoint the king at Jesse's house, then he went to the first one. He says, this looks like he could be a king. He looks strong. He looked tall. But God said to Samuel, the Lord has refused him. And then he went on down the line. And Samuel thought, maybe this one, maybe this one, maybe that one. But then he ran out of sons there. He says, isn't there another one? Just like Brother Mike preached on Wednesday, isn't there another one that has the word of the Lord? And so he said, well, I've got this one, David. He's watching the sheep, little ruddy-looking fellow, not much to look at. But yet the man had a heart the same as Jesus Christ, a man after God's own heart. And so we don't look at the outside. We look at the inside. God looks at the inside. And he could see something in David that none of his parents or nobody else could see. Maybe even David did not see. But it was something there that God, by his foreknowledge, saw something there. And there he chose him, and he was to be king of Israel. But he was not desirable to be a leader. Next. God looks at character. Man looks at natural beauty. It's deceiving. And that's why a woman was given that beauty for deception, to deceive. And he says that will send her to hell quicker than anything else I know of, if it's not used in the right way. She can be pretty, sure, as long as she stays with her husband and does what's right. So it's okay to be pretty, but stay in the channel that God called you to be in. Stay with your husband. Do what's right. Follow the word of God. How she can deceive with it, for it was given to her to do so. Satan and his group look after big, beautiful churches, beautiful things. Don't look for attendance. Don't look for beautiful buildings. Don't look for big programs and things. Stay with the word of God and stay in your relationship with God. Because the devil's trying to move us to looking at people and the church, but God says, focus on my word. And so if you can see in the church, those two things are operating, the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. And the tree of knowledge of good and evil is working through people. And so people have their own ideas. They look good maybe sometimes. They look like Christians. They wear Christian clothing. They may talk about Christian things and stuff. We're not to go after that. We're to go after the word of God. That's where life is. That's why we're here, is to hear the word of God, not to follow people. Next one. Every sin on earth was caused by women. This is not me. This is Brother Branham making these statements. Every sin that ever was on the earth was caused by a woman. An analyst from Chicago, a woman, wrote this article that was on the police force, and they did some study. They found 98% of every crime that was ever did in any form in the United States, there was either a woman in it or a woman behind it, the devil influencing. Now, I'm saying all this to get one thing here at the end so that you can see what's the matter. Remember, this is Women that are being used by the devil and influenced by the devil. If you're a woman, if you're a lady, then and you're influenced by the Spirit of God and the Word of God, this is not who he's talking about. So that we can see what's the matter. She was made to deceive like she did Adam at the beginning. Tell him that the fruit was pleasant. And it can seem good and pleasant. The things that the devil presents. And when I'm saying the devil presents, he does it in many different forms. You know, he can present it in entertainment. He can present it as an idea, even using the Word of God in some form of aspect, but it's twisted a little bit. He can use it in books that you read. He can use it through people that talk about their ideas. And it can look pleasant, seem right, and so forth, to deceive him and take him away from the Word. That's the way the church does today. So he's talking about the church pulling us away from the Word. But then after that, he become her ruler to rule over her. So let me just say, make this statement here. You know, remember how Brother Branham talks about how these churches, the denominational churches, can become lodges where we have social activities and different things like that and programs, right? If we're not careful, even in our own assembly, the tendency to have programs, the tendency to have social activities and things, sometimes we will let that substitute our time in the Word of God and in prayer. And we spend more time on that than on this. And so we're being pulled into the church, not the Word. We need to come into Christ. He become her ruler. Now, that's the way the church does today, same thing. But then after that, he become her ruler to rule over her. So after the fall, Adam became her ruler. Now, what a difference in this day of conception. Instead of him being her ruler, she has become his God. And so you see the power of pretty women over men. You see how many of them fall. You know, politicians, leaders, different ones, they fall by pretty women and how much of power that they have over. The Thyatirian church age talks about Jezebel, and the word Thyatira means dominating female, the Jezebel spirit, to dominate. And so she doesn't have to be like, you know, like a full masculine type of person to be a ruler. It's that power which she yields, that deceptive power to have control. Sure, she rules him. Now you can probably well understand what I've been hitting at. By her beauty and her sex control, her shape. And that's what she uses on men. The way she moves, her beauty, and the allusion to sex. That was given to her by Satan, the byproduct that Satan did. She is sent to deceive the sons of God. And she can sway more of them to hell than any other instrument Satan has got. So right there, brothers, we've got to pay attention to what he's saying. This is the strongest instrument that the devil has. And you know how many men fall to this, whether in the natural, you know, with women that pull them physically, or in their mind through pornography. That's exactly right. I'm talking of the immoral now, not you sisters. We'll give your place. It was in God's plan from the beginning. Because God knows everything. And he allowed all these things to take place for his glory and purpose. Next. Now we see plainly here what Jesus spoke of in Revelation, the second chapter of the Nicolaitan doctrine. So we're talking about marriage and divorce, and then Brother Branham brings this same spirit of deception and the woman being deceived and how she being used as this instrument into the Nicolaitan spirit. So he's using this beauty and all this stuff in the natural and brings it right over to the spiritual, because that Nicolaitan spirit is very enticing. And so it's bringing some type of idea and thought to mix with the Word of God that seems right and is very enticing. And like I said, it becomes in the form of a Word of God. It comes in the shape and it's packaged in the Word of God in the message of the hour. Do you understand what I'm saying? But it is not the true Word of God. The oncoming of that church pulling itself away from the Word. Also, we can see here plainly these vulgar, ungodly, filthy programs that we have on television of Hollywood sex queens. If we're watching any of that stuff, it's wrong. It's just wrong. And you're going to go down and you're going to be going down the way of destruction. You cannot get close to God and watch those things. We can see the filth of this city as these kids, little old girls walking up and down the street with little bitty tight clothes twisting around. That's all over the place right now. And cold enough to freeze them to death. They don't know that that's the devil doing that. So anyone that dresses that way, I don't care what they say in their heart, they're driven by an evil spirit.
Right.
Thus saith the prophet. They are possessed of an evil spirit and don't know it. And they will refuse. They will argue about it. But it's the Word of God anyhow. Now you see the Nicolaitans, you see their doctrine. So the same way he works in the natural is the same way he works in the spiritual. And so it can be very enticing. Next. Okay, we touched on this point. I'm just going to move on so we can cover more ground here. So death comes by the woman, and so in the natural sense, and then the spiritual sense, the church. And she also represents the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Remember, eating off the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the garden brought forth death. And so eating off the idea that the serpent had, and then eating off of that tree now that the woman was taken with it, that brought forth death. And every child that is born of a woman brings forth death. So every offspring in the church that comes from the church brings forth death. There's no spiritual life in it. So first was a covenant. Adam and Eve was co-equal. And so there was another covenant after the fall. He made another covenant. Now the world is to be repopulated. Remember, he made that multiply and replenish the earth before the fall. There was a way that God intended, the perfect way, for it to be multiplied and replenished. But then after the fall, now the world is to be repopulated, not by the original creation of God, like in the beginning, not by the original creation, but by sex desire. See where the woman is at now? So in the scripture, Job 14:1 says, man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Psalms 58:3 says, the wicked are estranged from the womb, they go astray. As soon as they are born, speaking lies. So you come from the birth speaking lies because you are corrupted, and that sexual birth brings forth death. So that's why we had to have a new birth. Next slide. Life come by the male. The word, remember that Adam was the son of God. And so when he said multiply and replenish the earth, and you look at the spoken word, his original seed sermon, the original intention for God to multiply was through the spoken word. And so that is how he is multiplying today, is through the spoken word to those who are born of the Spirit of God, which is the Word of God. Jesus had to come through the woman to bring it back to its original beginning again without sex desire. That's why there was no sex in the conception of Jesus Christ, because the sex brought forth death. He is virgin birth. But hallelujah, there will come a time where it won't be no more sex, but God shall call his children from the dust of the earth back like they was in the original, not through any woman, but through the molding of the clay and the cosmic light and the petroleum. He will create again like he did Adam at the first time. Jesus made this possible by God making himself a man and coming into the world so he could die through this woman. Now is testing time by sin. Next. So he was that tree of life. He said, if you eat of me, you will not die, right? And so, but there was a cherubim put there because of sin to keep them from the tree of life because they had sin. So there was no way for them to come forth until there was a shedding of blood by an innocent one. And ultimately by the Savior himself, Jesus Christ. So now, if you recall, remember the preview of the bride as Brother Branham continued his ministry towards the end time. There was a review of the bride, and he saw the bride marching to the beat of onward Christian soldiers. Do you all remember that? Yeah. The vision. So they were dressed right. They looked right. They had long hair, and they were marching to that beat, and they were perfectly in line. They were one. They were unified as they were walking along. None of them were looking this way or that way. They were looking straight forward and marching towards heaven. And so Brother Branham says that was the Alpha bride. And so you saw the Asian denominational church. You saw the different countries, the different nations and their churches, and how filthy and corrupt they were. And one of the last ones that was in view was the American church. And he says the American church was so filthy. She didn't have hardly any clothes on. And she was twisting her body around to the beat of rock and roll. And he said this was the church, the American church. And so you see the filth of the women in the natural. That same is typed in the spiritual of the American church. And so as that was going on, then he thought that that's all that could be produced by the preaching that God had called them to. But then right after that, then he heard the music and he heard onward Christian soldiers and he heard and he saw the review of the Omega Bride, the end time bride, that's you and I. And he said, out of every nation and kindred, you know, wearing their national garb, I'm sure he saw women walking, marching to onward Christian soldiers wearing African clothes, Central American clothes, Asian clothes, you know, American clothes, what have you, in different nations. And so they're marching to this and to that same thing, and they had long hair. They looked beautiful, just like the original one. But at the end, he saw two or three walking in the back that were looking away, and he told them, get in line, if you remember that. Get in line with what? Get in line with the Word of God. And so they were distracted. They were looking somewhere else. And so he had to scream at them because he didn't want them to lose their way to the Lord Jesus. And so he screamed at them, and he made this statement in the masterpiece. He says, what? They was getting back, trying their best, and was getting back. Just get in line, because they was looking out somewhere else. See, there's a big distraction in this age to look at the church. I'm not just talking about denominational churches. I'm talking about within the message. We're looking at people. And those people can lead us astray. That's right. And so we've got to always look to the Word of God. Amen. Look it to Christ, not people, not the church. Amen. That will bring forth death. And so he says, watching about that church that just went into chaos. And so she was looking at that other church. And that's how she got distracted. That's how many of us get distracted, by looking at the church, looking at the people. Listening to their ideas. They look so good. You know, they talk so good. They talk about the message. They quote these quotes. They quote the scriptures. They can get your mind so twisted up. But two, the front ones never, the back ones, just two or three of them was kind of stepped out a little bit to the right-hand side and looked like was trying to get back in line as they went. Brothers and sisters, we've got to stay in line. And we've got to focus on Christ. Focus on the Word. He is the original. Brother Branham said, that Word means everything. Next. As it was in the days of Noah, making love outside of marriage. And we see this all today. But he breaks down the scripture. He says, did you ever notice? It never said nothing about marriage. He's talking about as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. He says they were, those the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, nothing about marriage. And if you take in the original Greek there, the word meaning says, I've got it wrote down somewhere, a wife, taken to them wives. But he breaks it down and he says in the Greek that it's women. And so he brings that further. Remember, it takes a prophet to reveal these things to us. And so he takes you to the emphatic diaglot, taken unto the women, not wives. They took them just as they were, free lovers, like we have today. And that's the spirit of the devil. To bring people to sex before marriage. Because within the confines of marriage, it's fine. But when you do it outside, it's sin. And so that's what the devil is trying to do, is entice the young people to come into sex before marriage. That's why the Bible says it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Because that one touch leads to another touch, to leads to another touch. That's why Brother Bram says not to kiss. Because the sex glands are in the lips. And so we've got to teach our children these things. Free lovers, they went any way they wanted to and took any woman that they could. Next. As it was in the days of Noah, men worshiped pretty women, women chasers. Notice, women of that day in the days of Noah must have been the talk of the day. Seth's sons saw the daughters of Cain, that they were beautiful. We're talking about sons of God that worship God. Amen. They were wicked and they were daughters of Cain. When they saw, sons of God saw the daughters of men, they were fair, they took unto them women. Then the sons of God fell from their estate with God and become women chasers. And so you are what you love, what you go after. So if you go after money and you spend a lot of time trying to get money, you love money. If you spend a lot of time around girls and chasing after girls, that's what you love. But if you spend time chasing the Word of God Amen. And digging into the Word of God in prayer, that's where your love is. Amen. Even look at our churches today and look at everything you wish to. Notice, everywhere it looked in that day must have been pretty women. Men become slaves to them because they were pretty. Made shrines and worship. And just think, they literally worshipped female flesh. Men actually worship women. Let us not be blind. Next. I'm going to go on here, but this talks about how women get out of tickets because of their prettiness. Doesn't show on the records, shows that women are actually safer drivers when that's actually not correct. Because Brother Branham said that him and Billy Paul did a survey while they were driving and see how many women's got tickets or stopped by police or made wrong things on the road, and how many men, and it was 219 women to 19 men. But that's not on the records, because when they get stopped, the pretty women, they'll show their pretty face and cause them not to get a ticket. That's what he's talking about next. He says people won't come to church. Many of them just won't do it, and some of them not coming is sincere people. They've seen so much corruption in the church. He's talking about people that look like Christians, act like Christians, but they're not Christians by their conduct and by their behavior. Until they don't want to have anything to do with it. Many times we're speaking of, he says, they call themselves Christian. They're the greatest stumbling block that the world has got is a man and woman who professes to be a Christian and live something different from their professions. That brings people down. I'm going to let that sink and then move on, because I don't know if I have time here. I think I have to close with a couple more of these and then and stop next. Okay, more of the same, just a greatest stumbling block is a make-believer. Next. You know, that these people that claim Jesus Christ, the influence of singing those Christian songs and things like that, singing beautifully, right, before the young people and getting out in the world like that throws the greatest stumbling block, more than all the bootleg joints. This is the deception, brothers and sisters. Okay, next. One of the greatest hindrances that the church has got, one of the greatest hindrances is somebody professing to be a Christian and living a different life. That's how people are being brought down and deceived, brothers and sisters. Next. I'm going to touch on these for you all to look in and study. In Proverbs chapter 5 and Proverbs chapter 7, it talks about the exact same thing that we're talking about. Talking about Solomon's instruction. And he says, you must have discretion. That's prudence or knowledge, that discernment which enables a person to judge critically of what is correct and proper, united with caution. So he wants us to have discretion, brothers and sisters. And that only happens through the Word of God. But he says, the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and mouth is smoother than oil. So that can go with women and men. They're the way they talk. But the end is bitter as wormwood. Next. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. So it will take you straight to hell if you follow this. Remove thy way far from her, lest thou give thine honor unto others. Thy flesh and thy body will be consumed if you follow this path. This brother, just last minute here, next. And so if you obey the voice of your teachers, that will not happen. But if not, you will have this regret. And so this woman in chapter 7, I'm not going to be able to go into it, but chapter 7 digs into how this woman actually is in a little bit more depth. Amen. But our young brothers need to pay attention. Our older brothers need to pay attention to this. This type, we've got to step far away. That's why Brother Branham said, turn your head. Don't even entertain. Don't even flirt. Just turn your head. If you see that type of thing coming your way, walk directly away from it. Let's all stand. And that is the same thing in the spiritual sense. If you see that spirit or those attributes in the spiritual sense, turn away from it. Walk away from it. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you. And Lord, continue to open our eyes, O Father, by the word of God. And Lord Jesus, you gave it to us as our weapon, O Father. You said it was a sword of the Spirit, which was the Word of God. And so with that sword, O Father, we were to cut the enemy in slices, cut off his head, O Father, and be overcomers, and not to be afraid of the devil, but to stand in our position boldly, just as David and all the men of God throughout the Scriptures that were fearless because they held on to the Word of God. They knew it was sure and steadfast, but they had to have the strong arm of faith to take that weapon straight to the heart of the enemy. And so, Lord, build our faith, and we know faith comes by revelation. And so we must stay close to you so that the Word of God can be revealed to us more and more. We must have the Holy Ghost, because without the Holy Ghost, we cannot build this faith and have the revelation that you've talked about. So Lord Jesus, let's keep the urgency and keep pressing the battle on this, O Father, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Bless the service, the preaching of the word, O Father. Continue to bring it forth, O Father, that it can discern the thoughts and intents of the heart, that it can expose the enemy's wiles and weapons and tactics, O Father. We ask all this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.